Man, I think we need to bring standoffs back.
Standoffs?
Yeah, like old-fashioned.
Oh.
Standoffs in movies.
Okay. I was like, is that some sort of like filmmaking term? Like, is that what you do when you have like extras? I don't know. Standoffs. Are you sure? Because
I was going to add they should not be done like this.
Yeah, I was going to say this movie has enough standoff for like 12 movies.
Yeah. And enough characters too.
Mm-hmm.
Who all have names.
Mm-hmm. I have a thing that I've written, I think probably a couple times on Letterboxd, where it's like, I love any movie that has like a little freeze frame on a character and then it shows their name. But I guess there is a way to do it wrong.
It can be overdone.
Mm-hmm. Especially when that name is just an impact font and there's no other thing that happens. Like,
well, let's go ahead and throw up my name in impact font on the screen, which is Luke.
And my name is Zach.
You get Papyrus.
Fuck.
And and we're brothers and we watch free movies for this show, this podcast. This week we are covering Close Range from 2015. On Broke Box Office. 2015
is crazy.
Broke Box Office.
Yeah, I could not believe how...
Feels earlier than that.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I'll talk about some of the actors a little bit, I guess, before we get into it.
Yes, I will say that there is one reason and one reason only that I chose this movie, and I think you're about to talk about it.
Okay. Is that reason named Scott Adkins?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yes. So our leading man here is named Scott Adkins. He's like kind of a big deal that
I didn't
really know anything about him. I'd never seen any of his like features before, but just scrolling through his page, it's really, really interesting because he seems to have this like two-sided career where he carries pictures like this in like big leading man roles, but he also works in like whatever you may want to call mainstream Hollywood, quote unquote, just not typically as like a leading person. He does stunts and he plays, you know, side characters and stuff in like the biggest of the big stuff, like John Wick and like Doctor Strange and like big marquee stuff. And then he just does these.
he does these. I'm trying to remember like Accident Man. That's a fun movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. In a way, I think that's pretty cool. I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
I guess I'll put this here while we're talking about him. But I had a thought when I was watching this that this movie made me feel kind of unique in a way that a lot of other movies we watch don't. In that I was watching it and I was like, okay, this is not really for me. There's a lot of problems here. I'm not necessarily like enjoying watching this. But I think that these guys should change nothing and should continue doing exactly what they're doing. I think it's fucking awesome that they're just out there making 80-minute stunt reels and being like,
basically,
here's this movie we made.
I mean, that's how I feel about, like, you know, I think I mentioned it even when I brought this up, is like, I love Scott Adkins, but he's not always in great movies. And this is one of them that's sort of on the bottom. I had forgotten which one this was, and then I remembered as soon as it started happening, where it's like, I don't know, sometimes a movie just needs to do one thing really well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, like, not to get ahead of ourselves, but like, you know, you can probably fast forward through parts and then enjoy other parts. But I will give some good Scott Adkins recommendations at the end of the
show. Okay, great. Excellent.
But yeah, I just love this guy. And he's so like, you know, if we're still talking about him, he's has such like an intense like demeanor.
Yeah. And he's been around for a while too. Like he started working in, well, and I read this on his page too. He's British and he actually started working in British TV like in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. He was in a couple things. But then he did, you know, stunts and like bit parts for a couple of those like early 2000s Jackie Chan movies, like The Medallion and
nice.
The Accidental Spy. And then, it was just up from there.
Cool. Yeah, so, I didn't even realize that. I only know him as like an actor.
Yeah, I would not have guessed that he was British.
I forget that also. Know, yeah.
He doesn't do a ton of talking in this movie, but his accent's pretty good.
he is British in another movie, and I remember thinking like, oh, he's doing a British accent. Yeah. But no, he just is British, and then in most movies he's doing an American accent. The last thing I'll say is that I always sort of get him confused with Frank Grillo. You know who that is?
Yes.
And I'm yeah. I feel like if Frank Grillo wasn't around, Scott Adkins would have a lot more roles probably.
He was in a movie recently with Frank Grillo, I think I saw.
Oh, they were together?
Yeah, I think so.
How can I tell them apart then?
Who else do we have here?
Who even else is in this movie?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton. There is one broke box office connection in the guy who plays the sheriff, Sheriff Jasper Calloway, is played by Nick Chinland.
Okay.
And his second credit ever was The Ambulance.
Oh my
God. One of our way, way back episodes. Yeah. So dude, I thought that was really cool.
Holy shit.
He's done a lot of work. He since then has 100 something credits.
Oh my God.
130 something. Yeah. So he's worked a ton. And I just thought it was cool that, like, that was one of his very first.
He definitely feels like a guy who would be in a lot of these kinds of movies.
He's demeanor. In a movie that I know you're at least in some capacity a big fan of, which is Con Air. I don't know if you recognized him from that.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't recognize him from The Ambulance either. Like,
I didn't either. I
couldn't picture anyone in that movie besides Eric Roberts.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not bad. Like, his top three on his known for is like Con Air, The Chronicles of Riddick, and Training Day. So like,
wow, holy shit,
that's stuff. You know,
that's good stuff.
That's big stuff.
I mean, at least that's like one genuinely good movie and two crazy good movies,
popular movies.
Yeah,
yeah. So good for him. I don't have much else to talk about. I thought it was cool that this dude, Jake Labatz, who plays Walt, he's like the dead.
Oh, that guy,
stepdad. He's a musician.
Okay.
And he's like composed for a bunch of movies, and he composed the song that plays over the credits in this movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. I don't know if it was good or not, but
and he played it, and I looked at the date of the episode, so I think it must have been from season one. He plays Conway Twitty in True Detective.
Wait, what?
Do you remember Conway Twitty making an appearance in season one of True Detective?
I'm pretty sure Conway Twitty is in season two.
Or is it? Okay, it says 2014. I couldn't remember if that was season one or two. Oh,
that may even be season three. I don't remember. No, it's probably season two. Because remember, yeah. That's wild, though. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say Conway Twitty and Family Guy, but that's just actually Conway Twitty, right?
Yeah. Caitlin Keats plays Angela Reynolds, and Madison Lawler plays Haley Reynolds. Mm-hmm. They both have a decent number of credits. The one who plays the mom in particular was in Kill Bill 2, which is one of the best Tarantino movies, in my opinion. So yeah, you know, they're both coming up, hopefully. You know, we'll see them in more. Who knows? Also, last guy I'll talk about, this dude, Tony Perez, who plays the boss, the old guy. I was not even going to talk about it. I wasn't even going to look at his page, because when I was scrolling by, his headshot on IMDb is from this movie. It's a picture of him from this movie. So I was like, okay,
yeah,
he probably has never done anything else then. That is not true. He has been working for a long time and has a buttload of credits.
Oh, man.
Is this one just of which,
his most famous one?
No, that would be Scarface.
Holy shit. Why would he not use that?
To be fair, he is credited as immigration officer in Scarface.
Oh, okay.
So sure, it's very much like a walk-on part, but still. Yeah, like,
that's wild.
This is fourth on his known for. So
okay.
But, you know, regardless, he has been working consistently for a very, very long time. So
yeah, why not? You know,
yeah,
good for him. Cool. I can then talk about the director, Isaac Florentine, who has done a lot of low budget sort of action movies like this. I did see he worked on Power Rangers and then like a lot of the subsequent, like, I don't know, Zeo Force. I don't remember the name. I forgot to write down the names, but we never watched Power Rangers. I remember.
No.
So it has like no connection to me, but I know it was a thing.
We kind of weren't like allowed to, because it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Mom was so big on person violence was not. Yeah. Okay. And that was why we could watch like Pokemon and stuff, because it's like little critters fighting each other.
Just, yeah, animals fighting, or like magical cards fighting each other. Yeah, in Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
And then and then he did a bunch of like sort of action movies like this. I saw he did a lot of other Scott Adkins ones.
That makes sense.
He did Undisputed 3 and Undisputed 2, which are Undisputed 2 was like Scott Adkins' first like breakout role, I think.
Yeah.
I need to watch those. They're like MMA fighter movies, I think. And then let's see. Oh, he did the Ninja movies, Ninja, and then Ninja 2 Shadow of a Tear with Scott Adkins.
Yep, I saw those too.
Which Ninja 2 Shadow of a Tear is a pretty great movie. If you like goofy action movies. And then he did, you know, he's done other stuff. None of the names were familiar, but I saw that he had done stuff with like Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren and like guys like that.
Yeah.
So he's just sort of like an action-y director guy. This was written by Chad Law and Shane Dax Taylor. Neither of them have written anything else I've ever heard of. But they both have, Chad Law had more credits, like I think about 20, and then Shane Dax Taylor had like less than 10, I think. But, you know, I don't ever want to talk shit about people in this part of the show. Right, but
yeah,
the writing is maybe the weakest part of this movie.
There's not a bunch of it that's even really existing. So
yeah. Speaking of, the music is by Steven Edwards, and the music here is also very just like wow, wow, wow.
Kind of
like, you know, imagine a Western sound. And that's, it sounds like
you got it
music kind of. But he has a bunch of credits, which I was kind of surprised about. He did the sequels to Bloodsport, which, you know, are not huge. He did some movie called The Patriot, but not the one you're thinking of. There's one with Steven Seagal. He did one of the Hellraiser sequels. He worked on Undisputed too. And then also he had other credits as like a performer or like on the soundtrack of certain shows, which I think we've talked about before, where that just means like he wasn't directly involved in the entire music process. Yeah. Just like one of his songs. And that, you know, he was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Prestige, Always Sunny, Mechanic, Dallas Buyers Club.
Dang.
So yeah, like he seems to be sort of a an arranger, composer kind of.
Yeah.
Like apart from movies, and that stuff gets more play than his like actual movie soundtracks.
Yeah. Cool.
And then the cinematography is by Tal Lazar, which surprisingly he didn't have a whole lot of other credits, because I thought the cinematography was pretty good at points.
Oh yeah. I mean, it definitely is. It's exactly what it needs to be.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, again, nothing else I've really heard of. I think it was sort of action-y movies kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, the most important one this time is the spotlight that is on Jeremy Marinas as the fight choreographer / fight coordinator.
Hell yeah.
He played also one of the cartel guys in this.
Okay.
Like I recognized his face when I was on IMDb. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I cannot obviously remember the name of the guy he played.
But, yeah.
He also was an actor doing like stunt stuff in The Hunger Games, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Wolverine. And my favorite credit we've ever had on the show, he was in the one holiday episode of Community where the study group fights those guys. And he was one of those guys.
Oh, and my God.
I went back and watched the scene, and I'm pretty sure he's the guy who says, please, it's Christmas. And then Shirley says, it's December 10th, and hits him with the thing. I think it's that guy.
Oh, my God.
And so then, you know.
Wow.
When he's not acting, he is a stunt performer and stunt coordinator. Again, like kind of like what you were saying with Scott Adkins, he's the choreographer on a lot of smaller stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a stunt performer on a lot of bigger stuff. Yeah. Like The Expendables was one of his first credits, I think.
Nice.
And then you've got like Sherlock Holmes, Hunger Games again, The Wolverine, Anchorman 2 during like the big fight scene there.
Yeah.
Transformers, Age of Extinction, The Purge, Anarchy, True Blood, and American Sniper, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then this movie. Which is so funny that this comes after all of that.
Yeah, damn.
And then, you know, Captain America Civil War, and Kong Skull Island, and John Wick 2, and stuff like that.
Jeez.
Fast 10.
Wow.
And then he did, what was it? Last year he did John Wick 4, Fast 10, and Blue Beetle, which are like three huge action movies.
Yeah, those were like the
biggest action movies of the year, probably.
And then this year he already has a movie out, The Beekeeper, which I really want to see.
Oh, that's the new Nick Cage movie.
I think it's Justin Statham. Wait, Jason Statham.
Oh, wait, yeah.
But it looks like it could be a Nick Cage movie. I think you're probably thinking of the bees in Wicker Man.
That's why that happened.
Anyways, I love.
Well, he nailed it here.
He's so cool that he has done all this stuff and Community.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Now let's talk about this fucking movie. It opens with something that we haven't had in a while, which is a text crawl across the screen.
Oh yeah, good point. It's been a minute.
And always a great sign.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
I took it down in its entirety. In ancient Japan, a soldier was called a samurai, meaning the one who serves. And I forgot to look this up and see if this is actually true. It very well could not be. When a samurai became masterless, he was called a ronin. Some ronin became wanderers, helping those in need. Others became outlaws. A few were both. So I suppose what this is saying is that he was a soldier who then, we found out later, was like disobeyed an order from his superior and like is on the run now. And they sort of make reference to him being like a hitman or like he's not a good dude.
Yeah, he always talks about like, I've done stuff that I've done stuff. I've got warrants out. He's got warrants out.
Yeah. Like, so it's interesting that he is like, I don't know, the hero here.
I mean, he certainly kills a lot of people in this movie.
He does, yeah. And a lot of people that he like didn't really have to kill. He does, I guess that's one thing that sort of separates him from your generic action hero, is that he a lot of times will go out of his way to kill somebody.
Yeah.
He could just easily like walk away. Which I don't know. I kind of like that. You know, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, it has that kind of disregard for human life that is, I feel like, kind of necessary to make a movie like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same in fucking like Star Wars and shit. Like, he's just shooting stormtroopers, essentially.
I guess that's true, yeah. Although we do know the name of each and every one of them.
Yeah, we do, which I thought was such a weird choice.
I feel like we say this a lot, but this time I do truly think this will be a short episode because,
yeah,
again, if we're just talking about the plot here, it is so basic. You know, I'm trying to think, is there more plot in this one or in the one we talked about last week?
Here's the thing, though, is I will say, I feel like I'm going to end up going to bat for this movie, kind of, and I don't know why. But, like, the plot is coherent. The plot makes sense and honestly is, like, pretty decently motivated and just, like, the whole point is to get all these people in the same place just so that they can fight. But it makes sense enough, I guess. You know?
Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with the plot. I think the problem with the writing is like the dialogue more.
Because
it is trash. I think I took down a few lines here and there, but like, there's not a single good line in the whole movie, I don't think.
No, there's not.
It's wild.
But there are some sick ass fight scenes like this one.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it opens. Yeah, is it a hotel? Because I wrote down government building. Because why is there like a security at the beginning of it?
Good question. Actually, I think that some places in other countries just do have security. Like,
oh, just like at the hotel,
hanging out. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But yeah, I guess it could have been just like a compound or like
it's somewhere where some guy from a cartel is doing stuff.
Yeah,
and that the cartel is going to be the bad guys in this one.
Yes.
It's such a thing of the, like, you can tell they wanted to pick, like, let's pick some sort of like organization or whatever to have a bunch of guys that you don't care if they die. They're just like, these are all cartel guys, so they're bad dudes and fuck them, you know?
Yeah, they're stormtroopers.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you know, if it was, what, the 80s, it would have been Russian guys.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me to, like, I guess, realize things like that where they're like, we need you to immediately not care about these people's lives.
Right.
And this is how.
And it works. Because this fight scene is so sick.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I don't think
he's got a knife belt.
Yes.
That's going to be his weapon of choice, which is dope. Yeah, I mean, there can't, you know, there's only so much you can do when describing cool fights.
Yeah, I just wrote he kills some guys. I don't want to spoil it, you know?
Yeah, I think I briefly mentioned this earlier, but like, you can tell right away that this is a movie that's being made entirely by stunt people, which is why the fight scenes are so fucking good and are so like crisp and clear. And I mentioned too that like the cinematographer does really good work here. It feels like I wonder if this is going to become a sort of 20 teens kind of trope, this kind of action choreography of where the camera's like flying around and doing different angles and stuff. And like,
yeah,
but they are really pulling it off pretty damn well here.
Yeah. I think it is sort of the answer and almost like a backlash to that sort of really quick cut kind of action scene that you know, the Bourne stuff, like that people are doing in the 2000s.
Yes.
And then people would start being like, this sucks. You know, Bourne does it good. And then everyone else tried to do it. And then you're like, I can't tell what the fuck's going on.
50 million cuts in one, you know, 2 minute long fight scene.
Like, what was it? The scene of Liam Neeson jumping over a fence. And it's like, here's 20 cuts.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
You're right. I bet this whole movement is like a direct response to that. Because it is, there's long takes with like extended bits of really complicated fight choreography.
Yeah,
it's extremely athletic. It's extremely like it's impressive. It's just
really, I'm loving it. Like, please more of this, dude. Yes. Side note: did you see the trailer for Monkey Man?
Yes, holy that looks shit, dude! Sick.
I can't wait. I'm gonna see
that. I didn't
know
anything about that until I did.
I know. Yeah. And I was like, oh, Jordan Peele, Monkey Man, Dev Patel. All right. You know, probably be sort of like a weird thriller. And it's like, nope.
It looks
it's going to be a beatdown. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, Scott Adkins kills a bunch of guys. It's the tagline for like most of his movies. But in this case, he's trying to find a young lady. And then he just finds her and then they escape.
But not before he gets the MacGuffin, the drive,
a USB that's like the most important. You could tell also when this movie was made because the USB is a major plot point.
Yeah.
Whereas now it'd just be like, oh, it's all on the cloud. And what does the USB have on it? They were very vague about that.
Yeah, because he asked the guy at the end and the guy's just like, everything.
Yeah, someone says like locations of stash houses and names, then someone else says like it's a bunch of bank accounts on and like the bank accounts are on the flash drive, or is it like how does that work? Like, I feel like nowadays it'd be like, oh, this is all my crypto.
Oh, my crypto wallet.
Yeah But yeah, it seems like, and he kind of just accidentally ends up taking the flash drive. Like, he the flash drive is also on like this sort of chain that has like keys to unlock the handcuffs to save the girl.
Yes.
But then he could have just like, it'd be funny if he just kind of like dropped it, because you know, why would he still need it?
Yeah,
like,
then the whole movie wouldn't happen
for some reason. And then I don't know, he escapes.
Yep.
And some really twangy whistly western music plays over terrible titles is the note that I took, although the music kind of plays over everything. But man, these titles are oof,
and they're long.
And they are long. Yeah. It does feel like here and there they were like, we are not, because we haven't mentioned this movie is like an hour and 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they were stretching it out to make it that long.
Especially in Act Three. Holy cow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I right here at the beginning, I had started taking notes about like I said, okay, so he's talking to, once he, you know, he returns the niece and he's talking to his sister and he's been on the run, and I was like, okay, why is he where? And then I gave up worrying about like soon as I realized, I was like, okay, this is not that kind of thing, never mind,
just a bad dude from out of town.
Yeah
I had forgotten. I feel like it kind of wasn't clear in the first place how he was related to these people, because he says something like when he's rescuing the girl about like uncle's like here to save you or something, or uncle sent me to save you. And like,
well, the first thing he says is, do you recognize me?
Really? I remember that. That's pretty funny.
But she's like, yeah.
But yeah, it eventually becomes clear that he is the brother of this woman who has this daughter who was kidnapped. And she was kidnapped because the woman's husband, who is not the daughter's father. He's like the stepfather. Yes. He's like a new guy. He was working with the cartel guys and he sort of screwed them over in some way.
Yep. He was skimming.
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
Yep. That's Walt. Walt is a real piece of work.
Yeah.
Walt is also from a different movie. Walt is from fucking Grease.
I wrote down that Walt kind of looks like white trash Tom Holland.
And, yeah.
And also older. But he has that sort of like very smooth face that Tom Holland has.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. But you're also that he is a greaser. Yeah.
He's not super scary. I don't know.
No. Yeah, I do think he's supposed to be like a pathetic kind of like asshole guy. Well, again, yeah. Where you're like, I'm ready for this man to die.
Yeah.
And you do not have to wait long.
We also learn pretty immediately that the sheriff is working with the cartel. So him and two deputies, I guess Walt shows up first. Walt shows up and, you know, he has a confrontation with this guy and he's like, basically, fucking, what is Scott Atkins' character's name? I can never.
His name is Colt McCready.
Colt. Basically, Colt is like, I'm taking my sister and I'm taking my niece and we're getting out of here. And yeah. Walt kind of like tries to put up a fight for a second, but not really. Yeah,
he's just like he doesn't matter at all. He's just such a wiener. I had an interesting reaction to when you mentioned the sheriff, and I don't know why this is included, but because it never pays off now that I'm thinking about it. The sheriff is like on the phone with his young son. Mm-hmm. Who's like, I love you, Dad. You're so cool, and I love you, and blah blah blah, whatever. He's like, all right, son, good job. I'm gonna have to go to work now. And when I first saw that, I was like, oh, this is setting up for it to be tragic when he dies or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you realize that he's like in league with the cartel, and he's like a bad dude.
Yeah.
And then this is sort of skipping ahead. He talks to his son again later in the movie, and you're like, oh, this is gonna convince him.
He's gonna get him this time.
Yeah, he's gonna convince him to become a good guy, but he doesn't.
Nope.
I was like, what? Why is this included at all? Then why are you having his son talk to him and be like, "I love you, Dad, because you're such a great guy," and then he turns out to be not a great guy at all.
It's a real Chekhov's gun.
It's a real Chekhov's son.
It's a Chekhov's son.
But anyways, yeah, he's just a bad dude. I don't know.
Yeah, he sucks. So the sheriff shows up. He's got these two deputies. This scene was just hilarious because they really just need to get all the exposition out and just get everything set up. And so they're like, oh, he doesn't kill cops, so don't worry, he's not going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And then also just like everyone's flapping their fucking gums. The whole time, like, none of these people were read their rights. None of them, you know, because they start arresting people immediately. They put Walt in the police car immediately, and Walt will not stop talking. Like, I was like, bro, have you never been arrested before? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he's like, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything. It was them. Yeah. He tries to like sell, or maybe it was to the cartel guys. He tries to sell his wife under the bus too.
Yeah, and even her, she starts talking to, because the sheriff says something like, I know he's here or whatever. And she's like, even if he was, yada, yada. I was like, girl, you already went too fucking far. You can't talk to the police ever.
Yeah. Just don't say anything.
Yeah.
But of course. Yeah. So you, like you were saying, the Colt has like sort of hidden away when the cops show up, and she's like, he's already gone. But then of course Walt is like, he's over there in that outhouse or whatever. And it's not an outhouse. What does he call it? It's like some other building.
Bunkhouse or something.
Yeah. And the sheriff's like, come out, no one gets hurt. And then he's like, you two, go get him.
Yeah.
And you know, it's these like two sort of small town cop guys, and they are not dirty. In fact, they are sort of concerned about like why the sheriff is acting this way.
Yeah, they're both written pretty intentionally wholesome.
Yeah.
And Colt does not kill them.
Yeah.
He just runs kicks away. Their ass.
Very easily, just kind of like, because you know, one of them is like sort of he's not like chubby, but he's like not very in shape and he's older.
Yeah.
And Colt just kind of goes like bow.
And there's, I think, one of the main reasons that the whole first half of this movie is so much more enjoyable than the second half is just like the fight scenes are just so much more creative. and so much more of it is hand to hand. And the choreography of the hand to hand stuff here is just like super creative and super fun. And then in the second part, it's just all guns and it's just, eh.
Yeah. There was, what am I thinking of? Never mind. I saw a really cool fighting move happen recently. And I'm trying to remember if it was in this movie or not.
Oh,
where someone like slides under someone else's legs and then like picks them up. And like, I don't think it was in this movie.
Stuff like that was happening though.
Yeah. Like he does a lot of cool shit. It is funny though. Like talking about, I have this note a couple times, is that why are all of these random like cartel goons expert, like, yeah, jiu-jitsu guys?
Yeah.
Like, why are they? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what they do in their free time. But I was like, that's pretty funny.
Because it is very like athletic and very like grapply and you know, almost gymnastic in some points. Like there's a lot of flipping and cool shit and like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's a really cool scene like way later where Scott Adkins does like this. He basically jumps in the air and does a split to kick a guy. And I was like, holy shit.
So tight.
Yeah. So I don't know, like the while Colt is being chased by the two cops, the cartel guys show up at the ranch also, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And he asks about the flash drive. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, MacReady has it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. This is also when they're driving up to the ranch is the goofy ass scene that we've been referencing a little bit where there's how many? There's like a dozen.
It's at least like 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like so many
cartel members. And every single one of them gets like a close up freeze frame name flash across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that probably was also another thing they did, just like, oh, gotta add time.
And immediately I was like, these guys are all going to die. I don't need to know any of their names.
They're all gonna really die and none of them are gonna have like lines. Like, and also it's so funny to do this because some of them we've seen before. And then now we're getting the sort of like,
do it then.
Like introduction then, of,
yeah. And then right where we were, so the when the cartel shows up, you know, they're like, oh, Colt isn't here. He ran off. He's up in the hills or whatever. And so the boss sends basically the two most significant of like the henchmen that we've met so far.
That
one
is
of whom
true.
Is the brother of one of the people that got killed in the first scene. And this guy, like I assumed, was going to be one of the main characters because he's got this, like, he's like, oh, you killed my brother. And he's the first one to die.
Yeah. He just immediately dies.
So now we have all these other cartel guys who I don't give a fuck about. Like, why didn't they save the guy who had the backstory?
Oh, yeah. And this is one line I took down where he's like, the guy's like, you killed my brother. And then Scott Adkins goes, and now I'm going to kill you too, you little bitch.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Like, why that was you? A great
just
fight.
Like, totally, I don't give a shit about you. I'm going to kill
you. You little bitch.
I'm going to kill you too, you little bitch.
This was also the scene where I noticed, and this is just one of those fun little things that comes with making this show. I thought the entire time that there was a stylistic choice that they were making in this movie to avoid showing any kind of like gore, that there were all these smash cuts to black whenever anything violent happened. Mm-hmm. Turns out that was just in the upload that I was watching on YouTube.
No. Oh,
so
no. What?
Literally, it's like halfway through the movie and I'm like, man, they really are like saving a lot of money on not showing any blood and gore at all. And in the back of my head, I was like, that seems like a really bold, like, stylistic choice for a movie like this. I better go check. So I went and watched another upload and I was like, I've been missing all of the gore. And it really was just like little tiny cuts. So I didn't go back and like rewatch it or anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of like gore really at all, but like, just the moments of like, you know, the knife going in or whatever.
Yep. All of that kind of stuff. I didn't see any of it at all.
Why would you upload it?
And it was like none of the audio was clipped or anything. It was just, so I thought
so
it was like,
still,
ooh,
like
they
hear
just love
what was going on, but you just couldn't see it. That's so weird. Someone really took the time to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, so man. Dorky. Yeah. So what? This dude, he like strangles even.
Yep.
After a pretty cool fight with the dude, like knife versus belt. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then this was so weird. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the coolest fights are like one-on-one or one-on-two. And so that's why movies always try and do that. Yeah. But it is funny how they like have to do that. It's, I think, what was it? We call it the old Ninja Turtles problem, you know, where,
yeah.
And this happens later too, but it happens very noticeably here where he's like, you two go find him. And then two guys go off and they get killed. And he's like, all right, you two go see what happens. It's like,
yeah,
why don't you just all go? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why
yeah, yeah.
These two people go.
And the two cops are dead now too. Both the cartel guys killed them as well. So they're out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. And this is, I wonder if this would be possible, what happens here, where the cartel guy's like trying to run him over. And then Scott
was goofy.
Jumps up and walks across the top of the car. How come no one ever thinks to do that?
Yeah. That one was a little bit choppy though.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
But then, and then he lures him to try and drive at him again. And I don't know what the fucking cartel guy's idea was, but Scott Adkins does like a backflip off of a little mountain cliff and the car crashes into the cliff.
I just, like, car is not a good weapon, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it can be accidentally, but like,
yeah, like it was
really hard to intentionally hurt someone with a car.
Yeah, they probably would have fared better if they had gotten there and then both gotten out of the car and then shot
at him. Yeah, exactly. Because he got, the guy driving the car is like, shoot him, and the guy leaning out the car is like, whoa, whoa,
yeah,
like, bouncing around while he's driving.
Nothing.
Yeah,
and this is one of those moments where Scott Adkins. I'm just gonna keep calling him that, whatever. Cole. sort of like knocks, he like stomps the windshield in and then points the gun at the guy and he like questions him a little bit. And yes, the guy answers his questions and he's like, cool. And he fucking shoots him.
Yep.
It was like, no prisoners, no one left behind.
Morally gray.
Yeah, exactly.
What an anti-hero.
Anyways,
I have no more notes.
No more notes at all. Okay, this is where the sheriff's kid.
I'm out of notes.
This is where the sheriff's kid sort of comes into play because he wants to just like leave at this point, but the cartel guy's like threatening his kid, like you gotta be part of this still. But again, it kind of seems like he wanted to be part of it anyways because, like, you know, as we'll see later, he just is a fucking bad dude.
Yeah, I think the trying to make the sheriff into a sympathetic character at all was a bad choice. Because we're already kind of doing that with Colt. Like, Colt is already like a bridge pretty far to get people on board with.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to do it also for the sheriff, not going to happen.
Yeah. And they don't even like really, because I'll talk about it a lot when we get to that point of the movie, because it is the most insane thing I've ever seen. The ending of this movie. I had forgotten about the ending of the movie until it happened. Anyways. Colt comes back to the ranch. You know, this is like sort of the big set piece where the cartel guys threaten the two women. Colt sort of like pretends to give in, and this is I guess why you have to have the flash drive, is like so that they don't just like immediately slaughter everybody there.
Right. And that was the part that I was thinking about when I was talking about how, you know, like the quote unquote plot of this movie is actually pretty airtight. I was like, when that scene kind of happened, I was like, oh, fuck, that's true.
Yeah.
You can't just kill him.
Yeah, I literally have a note. Chip. I have a note that goes, they don't immediately shoot him for some reason. And I was like, oh, wait, the drive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah. So he sort of bluffs about it. And then he's able to, like, kill one guy and grab the two women and run inside the house. And so now all the good guys are inside the house. The bad guys are outside the house.
Yep.
And it's a big shootout.
Shootout time.
And there's like really nothing to talk about.
It is a long shootout.
It's long. There are some really cool parts and some sort of just kind of shooty parts.
Yeah.
They can't call the police because of his outstanding warrants, they say. They make that point several times.
But then they just kind of do anyway.
They just kind of do anyways.
But it goes to the sheriff, obviously. The sheriff is like, I got it.
Yeah. The 911 dispatcher lady's like, I just heard that there was something going on over there, and I figured you should know about it and go check it out.
It is pretty great the way they play that scene, because then also like she comes back and she's like, oh, you know what? Now I'm hearing gunshots. I feel like maybe there is something going on.
Oh no, the line went dead. Yeah, I do have a note here about one really cool move, you know, and oh, again, the cartel is sending like two dudes into the house at a time.
Yes. Yeah.
And at one point, this guy's going around the corner. Scott Adkins grabs the rifle with one hand, shoots him in the leg, and the guy falls down. And then I haven't seen this before. He shoots him point blank in the neck.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
like, whoa.
Fuck.
It's pretty awesome. Gosh, what else happens?
That's probably the second most hardcore move he does in the movie.
What's the most hardcore?
Well, I guess that's probably pretty soon here. It's just part of the shootout. But there's one guy, and it's one of the last guys.
Oh, yeah.
And he stabs him right in the taint.
Uh-huh. With his... And it really lingers there for a while, too. The blood starts pouring out.
Yeah. It's good.
Right in the taint. Yeah, the sheriff comes back. Because he had left at some point. I don't know. He comes back. And this is where you think that he's going to become a good guy, because the two women have sort of run away, and the main cartel leader comes out and has them at gunpoint. And the sheriff comes back and shoots the cartel guy. And you're like, oh, cool. And then...
And it's so weird, because it's not even like... It's not even about him becoming like a good guy. It's just kind of about the movie acknowledging a will to live, almost. Like, why are we going to introduce his son if it's not going to have any ramifications on him as a character?
Yeah. Like, so, and okay, I'm trying to remember, because he kills the cartel guy, but he still wants the drive because he wants the money or whatever the fuck is on it.
I guess he wants to cover his own ass, right? Like,
I mean, maybe that too.
He's probably implicated on there.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. But in any case, this leads to maybe the funniest scene in any movie I've seen recently. You were asking for standoffs, and you sure get one.
For about 10 minutes.
I looked at the time. It is literally 3 minutes long.
Oh, my just, like, God.
Them, you know, the sheriff's on the ground. Scott Adkins has a gun on him, or no, he's just holding a gun, and he's like, he throws some handcuffs down. And he's like, make your choice. So the sheriff can either grab the gun and try and shoot Scott Adkins, or he can grab the handcuffs and like put himself away.
Yep.
And it, oh my God, dude.
Yep.
There's so many shots of their close-ups on their faces. There's shots of like the gun going over to the handcuffs, going back to the gun. Like, what's he gonna choose? There's shots of like his hands sort of twitching, like, am I gonna go for the gun? Am I gonna... And it's
excruciating. It's
so much longer than you think it's gonna be.
It's undeserved. You know, you can make something like that work if you work for it, but they did not.
It I can't imagine not laughing at it. I laughed out loud. Like, it's so funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
But it couldn't, that couldn't be what they were trying for, right? Like,
there's no way. Yeah.
There's no way it was supposed to be a comedy moment.
It really reeks of just time fill. Like,
yeah.
So, like, so much of the movie does, you know?
Yeah. But in the end,
he picks wrong. I really thought he was going to pick right. I thought he was going to pick up the handcuffs. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's the movie.
Like, that's what would make sense. But nope. Yeah. He goes for, and why would you think you could take this dude out? This dude just killed like a million guys.
Yeah.
And you think your old ass on your knees is going to like grab this shotgun and somehow not get shot in the head?
No chance, bro.
It's wild.
No chance.
Yeah. And then Colt gives the drive to Angie.
Guess he does kill cops sometimes.
Only if they're dirty cops. And then he rides off on a motorcycle and into the sunset because the police are coming now. The state police,
the stateies.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I want to start doing. I just noticed it. We did it last week, and I want to do it again this week. Is I want to read a YouTube comment.
Okay, great.
I want to like every time find a fun comment to read, because this one is funny. This person says, "The fact that Colt as a character did not wheelie at the end signifies the lessons in life. And that sports vehicles are indeed dangerous and need to be ridden with respect."
What the fuck?
This person is very concerned about, like, oh, he just killed a bunch of dudes. He was in a bunch of gunfights, but at least he didn't wheelie on that motorcycle, because that's dangerous.
That's ridiculous.
So this has been YouTube Comment Corner, which will now become part of the show.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I have such complicated feelings about this movie.
I know, right? Like, yeah.
Because part of me really, you know, I can't recommend you watch it. But what I do recommend is that you go, you know, watch like stunt reels and stuff all over YouTube and shit. Because there's so many talented people out there who are making stuff like this. And, you know, Scott Adkins is one of them. He's clearly incredibly talented. He's very, very good at what he does. So, if you're into that shit, check it out, you know?
Yeah, it's a movie that does, like I said, one thing really well.
Yep.
And, like, that is enough that, you know, you could put this on. Because it's hard to say you could put it on the background because you have to, like, watch the group.
Right. Parts.
So you have to, like, know when to sort of look up. Like, when you hear, like, punching or shooting, look up at the screen. And then when you hear talking, don't look at the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, I had said I was going to give recommendations. Accident Man is great. Scott Adkins movies. Accident Man. Avengement is one with a hilarious name that I thought was going to be like this. But it's actually a really cool and fun movie.
Okay,
cool. Ninja 2 Shadow of a Tear.
Shadow of a Tear is a terrible subtitle.
I know, right? And I haven't seen them, but I think the Undisputed movies are like his main ones, so I'm gonna watch those sometime. I think it's in that he's against Michael Jai White.
Which
to me is such a fun pairing. The thing is you can get the things that this movie does in better movies that do other things well also. So,
or just get them in like short form.
That's true.
You know, like you can do that too.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, you could probably find just like little clips of the action scenes from this movie on YouTube.
Oh yeah, I bet. I would be amazed if Scott Adkins doesn't have like his own YouTube channel where he uploads.
Maybe. Yeah. Fight scenes. I should look into that.
He should if he doesn't.
But in any case, this is free. And this one has
free.
Maybe the most uploads I've ever seen. It has at least like 4 on YouTube and also on Tubi. And like, they're giving this movie away.
They want people to see it.
They'll probably mail you a DVD if you like ask for it.
Well, cool. Thanks for coming along, everyone. Once again,
a fun one.
Yeah, honestly, I had a better time with it than I have. Oh, with some other recent hits.
Way better, dude. Are you kidding?
So give us ratings and reviews if you enjoy the show on whatever platform you're listening on. You know,
yeah. Helps
with the algorithm.
Yeah. Email us at brookboxoffice@gmail.com. Let me check and see if we have any.
Yes, please. Email us, you know, anything, whether it's questions or input or trivia or whatever. Let us know. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Brokebox Office.
And you can come back next week where that was the sign to cut there so I can cut this part out. Tell me the name of a genre of movie you want to watch.
What haven't we done in a while? I feel like it's been a while since we've done something really old.
Yeah. Here's a playlist of classic movies 1940s. Now, should it be just like a totally random, like nothing one, or should we try and find like an actual movie on here?
I think both are promising for different reasons. Do you see anything you recognize?
No. Although there was another Turner Classic Movies playlist.
Ooh.
Which that's probably good stuff, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
House on Haunted Hill, we did that one.
The best.
We watched Curly Top. That what's her face?
Is that
Shirley Temple?
Is that a Shirley Temple movie? I don't know if I've ever seen a Shirley Temple movie.
I haven't either. There's also Kiss and Tell starring Shirley Temple.
Curly Top's one of the famous ones though, right?
Yeah. Let's see if this is a real thing here going on. Oh boy. It's real. Okay. So it may be the weirdest one we've ever chosen. We're going to do Curly Top from 1935, starring Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
Drink Shirley Temples while we do the show.
Yes, that's a requirement. Okay. Yeah, so check it out. We're going way back in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, I'm excited. It'll be very different than the past two movies we've watched.
Yeah, honestly.
I bet no one at all will get stabbed in the taint.
That's a safe bet, I hope. I really hope.
I mean, you know, never seen it, so can't say for sure, but...
All right, everybody. Holler at you next time.
Yeah, enjoy your life, and don't steal a USB drive from the cartel.
Don't get stabbed in the taint.
You're a pro murderer, like Scott Adkins.
Bye.
Bye.